What is up, Reeve and Preview fans? We are back with another episode of Puckin' Around. As always, I am your host, Noah Daba, representing the poor, struggling Pittsburgh Penguins. As always, joined by my co-host and buddy, Brady Campbell, representing his also poor, struggling New York Islanders. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Pretty good, other than, of course, the fact that immediately after my hockey team goes on a six-game winning streak, we're now on, I believe it's a five-game losing streak now. Mm. And, I mean, every game from here on out is a must-win, but about to start here against Detroit. And if they lose this game, I think it's, you know, over. I mean, technically, of course, it isn't. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't – they were playing their best hockey all season, especially last game, are now playing their worst. So we'll see. I know, you know, the Penguins, unfortunately for you, have kind of dropped out a little bit. But I don't know how the Capitals are now surging and hanging around. The Flyers are still – holding on for dear life for that last that third spot in the Metro, but yeah, a lot has changed over the last few weeks.
Yeah, definitely, man. And as the episode title says, a lot of tight races in the NHL right now that we're going to get into in a little bit. But as you said, we do have some major games tonight. The Rangers and Bruins both currently leading their divisions, but both with teams hot on their heels right now. That game in TD Garden is about to puck drop in a few seconds. Blues fighting for their playoff lives. They're facing the struggling Ottawa Senators tonight on the road. Your Islanders, like you said, facing the Red Wings. Massive game with wild card implications. You talk about two teams, Brady, that have been just on a massive skid lately. The Wings have been even worse lately than your Isles have. The Jets, who are currently tied for the Central Division, which we'll get into a little bit later, facing the poor Devils, man. What a disappointing season they have had. The Flyers, as you mentioned, still in third in the Metro. They face the Hurricanes, who are now only 2 points behind the Rangers. The Predators and Panthers, two teams who have really solidified playoff positions lately, kicking off at 7:30. And then we got some late games as well. But we're just going to get right into it. So we're going to briefly go over each division, how it's looking right about now. And we'll start with the Pacific Division and work our way further east, if you will. So we'll start with this. The Vancouver Canucks still leading the division. They currently have 94 points, which is 8 points ahead of the Edmonton Oilers right now. A team that really, I don't think anyone, even the most optimistic Canucks fans, would have expected this from this team. But they've been phenomenal. Their offense has been great all year. Their power play is phenomenal. They're also fifth in goals against, so they're top five in both statistics, which is remarkable. The only thing I think that really sticks out is kind of a weakness for me right now. The penalty kill, 79%, which isn't great, but I guess it's not really terrible either. But Brady, this is a team that's got the star talent. JT Miller has been great ever since they traded for him a few years back. Pedersen is obviously a stud. Quinn Hughes is easily one of the best, if not the best, offensive defenseman in the NHL. And then we got secondary guys like Brock Besser coming in as well. That helps. And Thatcher Demko, even though he's been injured, you know, on and off the season, he's been really good as well. Always really liked him. But, yeah, this is a team, you know, as I said, very surprising team. They're kind of one of those teams I think a lot of people have been expecting to fall off with how ahead of schedule I think they've been this season. But they haven't. They've continued to kind of bridge the gap between the teams behind them. So that kind of raises the question, can they take this to the next level when it comes to the playoffs? So right now, if I'm looking at, they have the best record in the Western Conference, which means they would face the second wildcard team, which currently is the Vegas Golden Knights with 79 points. So, Brady, you know, I don't know about you. It's always tough to buy into a team like this that kind of comes out of nowhere pretty much. I think they're a very talented team. But just my gut feeling, like, if this was a team that played the Vegas Golden Knights in round one, I'd probably still be leaning Vegas, even though it's a second wildcard team. I think Vegas has really underachieved this season. They're still defending champs. So, you know, what are your thoughts on this Canucks team and what you think they could do in the playoffs?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think they're overachieving, of course, a little bit. I mean, their roster, though, when you look at it, is still, you know, very good. You mentioned some of the talent. But we see this all the time, almost more often than not, too, when kind of a surprise team comes out of nowhere and overachieves. Usually they, you know, they might have a little bit of a playoff run, but usually they eventually kind of fizzle out and lose to a more seasoned team, a more experienced team in the playoffs. And like you said, they're matching up with Vegas, and I probably agree with you. You know, I think obviously it's going to be a very competitive series, but I might lean Vegas. They underachieved a bit, but they made some good trades at the deadline, as we mentioned last episode. But I mean, they also, talking about them really quick, they're only a few points away from not being in the playoff spot. So that's something to watch out for too. But for the Canucks, I definitely think, you know, I even saw people on like social media, I think someone called them a first round exit. I don't know about that. You know, even if they play Vegas, I think they could beat them. But as good as their roster maybe appears to be, of course, they do lack that playoff experience. And, you know, like teams like what we're seeing with the Flyers and some of the other teams as well, I do think that will come back to haunt them once the playoffs start. But they've had contributions, you know, career seasons from everyone. They got a lot of young guys as well. But, you know, Pedersen, Besser have had great seasons. Quinn Hughes has had, you know, Norris season, you know, might be the favorite to win it this year. You mentioned Demko, their goaltending has been, you know, good enough. And honestly, when he is healthy, he's been great for them too. So, you know, I think they have some really good pieces. I don't, you know, think it will work out in the end for them this season. But, you know, and it could even be a situation where maybe they did overachieve a bit this season. Next season, you know, I don't think they're going to plummet, but they might kind of be like a wild card team even. You know, this could be somewhat of a flash in the pan for them. But I do think they, you know, definitely have the build box of a roster right now. And, of course, I mean, obviously you're going to go for it this year with the season you've had. Being at the top of your conference and especially division for most, if not basically all of the season. But they're a fun team to watch. Definitely. I'm personally excited to see them kind of back, especially with that roster, a lot of fun, exciting players to watch. I'm just not entirely sure if they'll be able to kind of maintain that come playoff time.
Yeah, man, it's kind of a weird thing, right? And I would never usually say this, but when I look at a team like Vancouver, I almost feel like they'd be better off being the two seed instead of the one, because that means they play Nashville right now instead of Vegas. And I Nashville's been incredible lately. They're 14-0-2 in their last 16 or something ridiculous like that, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But, you know, if we're talking playoff, you know, setting or whatnot, I'd much rather play a team like Nashville than Vegas. But they got three teams behind them that are only 1 point behind. So they got to keep winning or else, you know, they could struggle with playoff seeding as well. If they want to get in those further rounds, that could definitely play a factor. But right now, barring some major collapse, I do think they will hold on to at least win the Pacific Division. The Oilers have been great the past couple months. The Kings have, you know, been pretty solid most of the year. But I think Vancouver's done an excellent job for most of the season. Not sure how much it'll translate in the playoffs. I do think they have the star talent. Whether they have enough depth, whether they have the defense, I mean, it's one thing to be a good defensive team the regular season. It's a whole different animal in the playoffs. So I'm interested to see what happens because, like you said, I completely agree. Very exciting young team. They're a team that, unless you're a rival and you hate their guts, that is a neutral, you just enjoy watching. And they have a lot of guys. I think Pedersen's a very easy player to root for. So I am interested to see what they do. Now this, Shohei Ohtani might have some bets to put on this one, Brady, between the LA Kings and the Vegas Golden Knights. So currently in the Pacific, the Kings are third in the division with 83 points. They're 3 points behind the Oilers, 4 points ahead of those Vegas Golden Knights, as we just kind of briefly talked about there. Vegas has kind of underachieved this season. They have had some injuries. But definitely a team that I don't think people would have pinned to have in a wild card spot at this point in the season. So, you know, where are you leaning for this final? Well, actually, before I ask you that, let me get some comments in here. Mike DeSanto says, let's LGR, let's go Rangers. Tom with the good old-fashioned Ric Flair woo. Let's go Rangers, time to clip some wings. And Mike says, they'll win the Pacific, but will get bounced in the first two rounds. I think that's a pretty safe prediction right there. Too young and inexperienced in the playoffs. So, Brady, for this last spot in the Pacific, where are you leaning this one, the Kings or the Knights?
It's been tough because you look at the Kings and they were phenomenal to start the season. In my opinion, one of the more underrated teams in the league. I feel like people weren't talking about them as much. And I remember, especially on the road, they started off on fire. Then they hit a really rough patch kind of to start the new year. And they're picking it up, though, as of late again. And then there's Vegas, who's kind of underachieved all season. They were up near the top of the division, and then they really kind of fallen off here. And to some extent now at risk of missing the playoffs with the Wild and Blues on their tail as well. But I like what they did at the trade deadline. Overall, just kind of based on, you know, the last few seasons, especially, and the experience and all that, I think I'm going to lean more towards the defending champs, if they are kind of a wild card team right now. I just think overall, I mean, we were talking about them maybe even picking them against the Canucks if they matched up in the playoffs. But I think the Kings, while they are kind of an underrated and pretty good team, I feel like they're just not there quite yet. I feel like there's, you know, still a few holes possibly. They've gotten some pretty good goaltending as well this season from Cam Talbot, all that. I think it could probably be a little bit better, though, maybe a bit more defensive depth as well. I think Vegas has also dealt with some injuries over the last few seasons. They've made it work for the most part. While both teams have kind of been up and down all season, you know, this is a good question because it is very tough. You know, those two teams, I feel like, have had somewhat similar seasons. I think I just lean more towards the Knights because of that experience, both kind of, you know, over the last few seasons, of course, more playoff experience, but also, you know, the playoffs almost kind of start now for them, especially since they're at risk of missing them, but they also still have a chance to climb in their division as well. And I mean, I think it's going to be a tight race for that third spot. I think, though, if the Knights can get a little bit something going here over the next week or so, I give it to them. I feel like, though, if they kind of struggle over the next week or so, it probably sticks with the Kings. But I feel like I have more confidence in the Knights overall, just as a team. And then when the playoffs come around, I'd probably say they would go further. But, of course, we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah, I think I probably agree with you on this one. I do really like the Kings. I've liked that core that they built for quite a few years now. I think that Quentin Byfield is coming in his own, man. He's finally, you know, I wouldn't say finally, but, you know, former number two pick, I believe it was. He's got 50 points this season. He's still only 21 years old. Kopitar is still a really good player, even though he's 36. Same with Drew Doughty. And then you add in Fjell and Kempe. I really like them as well. And one area I actually think that, at least just based off how they played this season, I would give LA an edge over Vegas, which I never would have expected, would be a net because, you know, as you said, Cam Talbot has been really good this season. Don't get me wrong. He's been pretty solid most of his career, but he's always been a guy that's kind of bounced around between being a backup or just being a, you know, one of those fringe starter types of guys. But I think he's been really good for him this season. And the other side for Vegas, Aiden Hill was absolutely incredible in the playoffs for Vegas this last season. But I think more this season, they've kind of been struggling. You know, both Hill and Thompson, they've kind of been going back and forth between them, and I haven't really been impressed by either of them. I think they both had some quite a few bad games over the season. I guess if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with Aiden Hill. You know, 914 save percentage, 2.65 goals against average. Not staying on his head like he was last season, but I think, you know, Logan Thompson has struggled in comparison to him. And I think overall Vegas does have more talent than the Kings. So I think, like you said, if they can get on a good streak, I think they probably can get the third spot. I don't know if they'll get second, though, because the Oilers have been much better the last couple months than they were during their disastrous start to the season. But it's tough, man. Like, you get at that three spot, you're probably going to play the Oilers, which, I mean, you could beat them if they have one of their playoff meltdowns, but you also got to deal with it, you know, McDavid, Dreisaitl. Zach Hyman's had 40 goals this season, you know, playing along those guys as well. They got the offensive talent, which is going to be really tough to contend with. But, you know, like you said, I think if I had to pick one way, it's nothing against the Kings. I do really like their team. Probably got to go with the Knights on this one. Now, last top for the Pacific, and we finished talking about potential playoff teams, because now we're going to talk about two teams that are competing for something else, but it's not a playoff spot. It is a number one, potential number one pick, probably going to be Macklin Celebrini on this one, but that should say seven. I don't know why it has the and sign, but a seven-game losing streak for the Ducks and a five-game losing streak for the Sharks. Just a simple question, Brady. Between these two franchises, who do you think is in a better position in the rebuild? Because obviously your two teams are just not very good right now. The Sharks do have the worst record currently. I think they have 10 less points than the Ducks. So just on that front, they do have an advantage for a potential, you know, lottery number one pick situation. But other than that, which of these franchises would you rather be right now trying to rebuild their core?
I don't even really know if I can answer that one. I mean, the Islanders played them last week, and you know that definitely helped us, because watching those two teams, they really don't have much of anything kind of going for them. Mm-hmm. And you know, with the Sharks, they were even talking about, like, they really haven't had seemingly even like a direction, I feel like, for the last several years, especially goaltending and all that as well. I want to lean more towards the Ducks, just because I feel like they're have a bit more talent on their team, as young talent. Obviously, you know, they haven't really gotten anywhere just yet with that, but you know, having Zegras and Terry and those guys, you know, on the back end as well, they got some young talent as well. I feel like that would be like the tiebreaker for me. I just feel like they're, you know, they have a little bit more firepower, a little bit more flash to their team. You know, the Sharks, you know, they have a few good players as well. Still, they still got Ferraro on the back end. He's a pretty underrated defenseman. They have Logan Couture. I forgot they asked him a question. Oh, I think they asked him why, you know, he didn't get traded, and he said, who would want to trade for me? You know, an old player on like the worst team in hockey, basically, or something like that. But they just traded away Duclair, which, you know, kind of makes sense, but they made a few trades, and I mean, if they get the first pick, they get Celebrini or, you know, whoever, that will definitely help them a little bit for the future. But I feel like it could be another Bedard situation for both teams to some extent, but especially the Sharks. They draft Celebrini, and I mean, who is he kind of surrounded with? Not really. Mm-hmm. There's no real pieces around him. I feel like if he went to the Ducks, you know, he at least has a few, you know, young guys with similar skill sets and talents and all that. So I'd say the Ducks, not by much. Both teams, though, kind of figure it out eventually, because I could not imagine, you know, as much as we complain about our teams and how they're performing right now, I could not imagine being a fan of either of these teams for, like, the last decade or so. Right, yeah. A little bit less than that, but, yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the Ducks as well. I mean, when I'm looking at the Sharks roster, I don't really see much that you can really build around. I mean, I guess on the forward core, I kind of like Zetterlund, who they got in the Timo Meier trade from the Devils. And on the blue line, I do agree with you. I think Mario Ferraro is a pretty good defenseman. Unfortunately, he's on an absolutely terrible team. But they also had those terrible contracts. They got the Vlasic contract, Couture as well, who's on IR as well. 34 years old, three more years on his contract after this year with a no trade clause as well. So that really sucks. Whereas with the Ducks, like you said, I do think they have stuff to build around. I really like Troy Terry. They got him locked in long term as well. Their only really terrible contract, I think Killorn will hurt him. He's 34. He's got 3 more years after this one. I think he's a good player. I just don't know if he's worth that long contract, especially his age. But they got Terry. They got Zegras. They also have young guys like Leo Carlson and Mason McTavish that they drafted really high recently that I think they can build around. And on the defense, they have Mentyukov, who I think is a really young, promising defenseman as well. So while I do think the Sharks, they have a really good chance of getting a Celebrini this season, I think other than that, I think the Ducks have much better pieces to build around currently. But, man, like you said, you know, we think our teams are terrible. And then you look at these guys, it's just like, it's just rough. It's like they're doing a friggin' NHL franchise trying to potentially tank, like purposely tank for the number one pick. That's how much they've been struggling. But, moving on to the Central. Now, this division in Brady is just absolutely crazy. When I was writing this and I saw this, this is just absolutely ridiculous. And it was kind of actually like this last year as well with these three teams. But I don't remember a point even last year where they were all were tied with the same amount of points. But that's what's happening right now as the Avs, the Jets, and the Stars all currently have 93 points, 3-way tie for the Central Division. I'm pretty sure I asked this exact same question on the show last season. But I'll ask it again, Brady. Between these three teams, who are you giving an edge to win the Central?
It's tough again. This year has been crazy, but I look at those three teams and I want to say, you know, it's an easy choice to some extent, but you know, it's the NHL, it's not, but I think I got to give it to kind of the most experienced of the three teams and probably the most talented overall or well-built team. And that would be the Avalanche. Mm. Of course, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, all those guys, maybe they've had, you know, slightly more down season than they would like, but I still think, you know, Makar, Taze, those guys on the back end, they just traded Byram, but I overall like their team. I think Georgiev is a guy that, you know, like you were saying before with Talbot, he was kind of like a fringe starter, mainly a backup with the Rangers, and but he's been hanging in there and he's been playing well. The Jets, I feel like they're, you know, kind of a surprise this season. I mean, of course, you know, they have a lot of talent as well, but they just kind of showed us in, you know, what they've shown us in the past that, you know, they've had some pretty good regular seasons, but they either kind of fall off or they get to the playoffs and don't really do anything with it. I do really like their team this year. And honestly, they've kind of have been surprised. They went on that one incredible run kind of around the new year, I believe, where they ripped off a bit of a winning streak. And they might be a team where I could see them going on a little bit of a playoff run. I think they have the pieces where they could kind of be maybe that surprise team in the West. And the Stars, a lot of people had them being one of the best teams in the West this season, maybe even a Stanley Cup pick for some people. I don't know if I was quite there with them, but, you know, I feel like at least by other people's standards going into the season, they may be underachieved a little bit. But you're in the division with the Avalanche and the Jets and, I mean, the Predators are, of course, a bit behind, but they're you know, a scrappy competitive team. Same with the Blues. So I really like what they're building there, too. I just feel like maybe, you know, I guess from what I've seen, I'm maybe basing it a little bit off, you know, past seasons as well and overall playoff experience and just regular season the last few years. But I just give the edge to the Avalanche. I think they're honestly probably one of the best – kind of built teams top to bottom in hockey. Of course, they might have a hole here or there, but they, you know, they added Parisi in midseason, and I think he's fitting nicely with them as well. So I give the edge to the Avs. And another tough one. There's so many tight races. Yeah. I feel like every division and the wild cards now, you know, there's so much that could even change here in the last 3-4 weeks of the season. But I think I got to go with the Avs here.
James says the Islanders sucked me back in to only rip my heart out again. Yeah, you know, should be used to it at this point, I guess. But yeah, I'd probably give an edge to the Avs as well. I know I've just been agreeing with this whole show, but I mean, I'm just with you tonight, I guess. I do think there's a lot to consider here. So Colorado and Dallas are the two best offensive teams in NHL. Colorado is first, whereas Dallas only has two less goals scored this season for second. One advantage, however, I would get Winnipeg is while they don't have the offense, they have the best goalie in the NHL this season. Connor Hellebuyck is first in save percentage and goals against average. I believe he might also be first in goals saved above expected, which, yes, he is. So just stats-wise, he should win the Vezina this season. And he's been an elite goalie for so many years. It doesn't really surprise anyone at all that he's doing that. They may not have the offense, but you can never count out a hot goalie going to the playoffs. A lot of really good teams have won mainly off the back of elite goaltending. Jonathan Quick's one that really comes to mind. And obviously I think this Winnipeg team has a lot of talent. Offensively, they just kind of need to get it going. Whereas the other two teams, Dallas, great offense. I think Robertson's an animal. He's an animal. They have other guys as well that are really good. Duchesne, really good goal scorer. Pavelski and all these guys. Unfortunately for them, though, Ottinger's has been getting lit up by like a Christmas tree this season. Like, I feel like every week, Brady, I check, and there's at least one game where he's given up like 5 or 6 goals, and Dallas just gets either they win it because it's offensive shootout, or they just get absolutely steamrolled and it's not even remotely competitive. And Colorado, Georgiev, I thought was amazing last season. This season, I don't think he's been terrible, but I do think he's taken a step back. 902 save percentage, 2.83 goals against average. It's definitely nothing special, but I mean, again, when you got a team that has Nathan MacKinnon, 117 points, 42 goals, I mean, just get in line pretty much. Rantanen and Makar as well, those guys, like. I do think that top-level talent, no disrespect to any guys on Dallas, their offense is great, but they don't have anybody like Nathan MacKinnon. This guy is just ridiculous. It's between him and Kucherov, in my opinion, this season for the Hart. Although McDavid, I will say, had that week where he scored like 30 points in 5 games to get back up there again. But I do think Kucherov will probably still win it. But I will probably give it to the Avs. I gave it to the Avs last season, and they won it by like 1 point. So, I mean, I guess I'll see if I'm right again on that one. It is tough, man. All these teams are contenders. Like, there's none of these teams that I look at and say, oh, I'm not, they're kind of a pretender. I'm not sold on them. I think all these teams could win the Stanley Cup, whether it's with elite offense or elite goaltending. They all have components that could make them win it all. A team that has been ridiculously hot lately, I mean, this is just absolutely nuts, man. This is not a team you'd expect to go on a streak like this, but they've done it behind some incredible defense. Their top two in particular, which I know we're both going to talk about a little bit later, but and in net as well, the Nashville Predators 8-0-2 in their last 10, excuse me, and their winning streak is much longer than that. They have been killing it since the middle of February, pretty much. A team that was out of the playoffs for most of the season is now comfortably first in the wild card with 84 points. Second wild card is Vegas, 5 points behind, and then past that is the Wild with 76 and the Blues with 75. So, Brady, first, talk about the Preds and what they've been doing lately. And then for the other wild card position, do you think teams like the Wild and Blues can kind of catch up? Or do you think they got tough sledding? Because, I mean, the Predators have been incredible lately. And then the other team you compete with is Vegas, which we've already talked about, obviously.
Yeah, the Predators have been outstanding. I mean, I didn't see this one coming. I mean, of course, you know, we've had a few win streaks. I feel like there's been a lot of winning streaks and losing streaks going on. The Rangers had that big one. The Islanders had one, and now we're on the losing streak. The Wings have been kind of skidding lately. But the Predators, initially at least, kind of during this time, weren't talked about. But now they're quickly becoming one of the stories of the league. And I feel like they're kind of like the Capitals of the West. A little bit of a different situation, of course, where those franchises are kind of at. But I feel like they're a team that you look and they're like, you know, maybe they can compete for a spot. But, you know, I don't know if I could see it this season. And now, you know, the Capitals are hanging in there in the wild card spot. But the Predators have been on an absolute roll. Of course, you know, it helps when you got UC Soros in that or a UC Soro. And I mean, they got some talent as well. Of course, Roman Josi, one of the best defensemen in the league. They got some, you know, forward depth as well. Forsberg has had a great season for them. And they even have some young guys like Luke Evangelista. I could even pull up his stats, but I remember too, when the Islanders played them, he killed us. And they just overall have been kind of getting a full team effort from all four lines. Everyone has been involved for them. And obviously that makes sense then when your team is 8-0-2 in their last 10. But Nashville, you know, they're in a pretty good spot as well. 84 points. That's 5 ahead of Vegas for that second spot. Now, they can't take their foot off the pedal because, as we know in hockey, that could still quickly change, even though we're running out of time here in the season. Evangelista, 15 goals and 17 assists. This is just his second season. I think he's kind of been a very underrated player for them. But, yeah, the Preds, they got to stay on it still. Of course, you know, I don't expect this type of play necessarily to last all the way to the regular season. But if they could play at least similar, you know, good structured hockey, I think they could definitely get into that first wild card. And then it's tough for kind of the second half of this with the Wild or Blues. I honestly do feel like the Blues are another team where they won the cup a few years ago. They had that incredible run to get it. And then after that, you know, a few guys left and they still have, you know, some good talent. Binnington still having a decent season in that, you know, sometimes he has some off nights too, but, and you know, they still got some guys, but I just, for them, I feel like they're kind of just a step behind a lot of these other teams. This is kind of where I expected them to be, maybe competing, but in the end, I just don't think they're going to have enough to get there. Especially when they're going up against the teams they are. The Wild are an interesting team because they were another team that had that surge. And of course that crazy moment where they pulled the goalie in overtime, risking not getting any points. They were able to get both of them, win that game because they were even further down at that time. And then they won a few more and now they're right in it. They're a team that I feel like they're a little bit better built than, you know, maybe a team like St. Louis. They got Kaprizov, Eriksson, Ek. I'm drawing a blank on a few more guys, but I mean, they still got Fleury in net, who's still, you know, he's still going in the NHL right now. And he's done okay for the Wild this season. Overall, I think they're a team that could do it. But they're also now they're both competing with Vegas, who I'm kind of shocked to see them so low after basically their first, you know, however many seasons have been almost all the time. I feel like the top three in the Pacific, but the Wild are just 3 points back. And as we've seen, at least in the Eastern Conference wildcard chase, that this whole thing by our next show towards the end of the season could honestly look completely different. So I think the Wild, you know, the Wild, I think can get there. The Blues, you know, barring maybe a Predator like run or something similar to that. And of course they're going to need help as well, which is always an issue for teams kind of chasing. I think the Blues might be done, but I still give the Wild a shot. I know the Blues are 1 point back, so you know they're still in it, but I just think the Wild are more built you know, for kind of a late season run with their roster. And I feel like if they were to make the playoffs, they're kind of like a better team to get there and maybe do something. But for both of them, I feel like it's gonna be tough with the way Nashville's been playing. I mean, I don't think either of them are going to catch Nashville, but and also Vegas still, despite their struggles, being the team that they are. But you never know. Of course, we've said a lot of things on this show that have changed in, you know, the 2 week span or so that you know, between them. But it's going to be really tough for either of them. You know, like I said, with the Predators run, I think they're pretty comfortably in the playoff spot. I think both could catch Vegas, but, you know, Vegas kind of has that experience with their roster, so it's still going to be tough to do.
Yeah, definitely. So first part, I'll start with the second half. I do actually remember mentioning these two teams a while ago, talking about if they get back in the playoffs, and I do remember saying that I do think the Wild can get back in it, which there is still a possibility to do, but of course, I also said that when the Predators were still out of it, and now they've gone on that same run, so it makes it tough to basically where they have to catch Vegas, like you said, instead of Nashville, unless Nashville just instantly starts losing games, which, I mean, could happen at any point, obviously, but they're 8 points behind Nashville currently, so I think it'd be tough for the Wild. I don't think the Blues have any chance. Don't get me wrong, they do have great goaltending this season, but their defense is really not good. And other than Robert Thomas, who's a stud, I don't really think they have great secondary offense. I think Buchnevich is really good, and I like Kyrou, but outside of that, I don't really think they have anything. So I don't think either of these teams will, unless Nashville falls off, I don't think they'll make the playoffs. As for Nashville themselves, I mean, what a surprise story, man. I mean, this was a team, Brady, that last season at the deadline, they basically traded in everybody and their mama. It looked like they were going into a rebuild. And then they had that insane stretch to end the season where it looked like they could potentially sneak in. And they all ultimately ended up missing. I think they had like 90 points. And this season is kind of the same thing, except it happened earlier. They got hot much earlier in the season to where there's still time for him to actually get in. 40-25-4. And one guy I really got to give credit to, man, I really like Andrew Brunette as their head coach. I mean, he was with Florida during that incredible – I think they won the President's Trophy that season with Florida, and then they let him go, which, you know, was, I think, was a bit of a surprise to some people. He didn't coach last season. He comes in the season. I think he's done a really good job. Philip Forsberg, you know, kind of leading the way with the forwards, but defensively as well, man. I mean, you mentioned Yossi. He's been elite for a long time. But a guy I really want to give a shout-out to is Ryan McDonagh, because they got this guy from Tampa, basically traded a cup of coffee for him because Tampa was trying to clear cap. And this is a guy that's just been, you know, defensively a truck pretty much most of his season. He's literally the epitome of that X Factor from NHL, the freaking truck or bulldozer on it. I mean, that's what he is. That's what he's been all his career. And he's 35 years old. He's still getting it done. Here's a fun stat for you, Brady, actually. So throughout his career, which started all the way back in 2010, 2011, how many minus seasons has Ryan McDonagh had in his career?
I know. I think I've seen this. I know it's not many, if any, to be honest. And obviously, of course, he's played on some great teams throughout.
Zero. He hasn't had one ever. His lowest is +7 back in 2019-20 with the Lightning. So, I mean, you know, he's just been defensive. And obviously, I know, you know, plus minus isn't everything, but I do think it matters more for defense. And when you haven't had one, and like you said, he has been on some good teams, but when you haven't had one your whole career and you're 35 years old, I mean, I think that says a lot about how good you are defensively. But like you said, Saros in that has been pretty solid as well. Maybe not as good as he's been in the past, but he's still been pretty decent. So I've been really impressed with him. I don't know if they'll keep this up, and I don't even know if they'll go deep in the playoffs, but will they make it? Probably, because I don't see them just suddenly flipping a switch again and just playing like absolute trash the rest of the season. They're not going to keep this winning streak up forever, of course. But, I mean, if they pretty much just play 500 puck the rest of the way, they'll make it. Because, I mean, St. Louis is going to end up with probably 35 regulation losses. I don't remember the last time a team with that many has ever made the playoffs. I think the Wild are just too far behind, even though I think they have talent. Just think they're too far behind right now. Now, we're not really going to talk about this team because, quite frankly, this team isn't really worth talking about, but just an interesting stat here for you, Brady. Connor Bedard reaches 50 career points before the Blackhawks reach 50 points for the season. Obviously, Bedard did miss time, which hurts as well, but he's eclipsed 20 goals and 50 points. He's got, I believe, 54 points in 55 games played this season. So pretty much point per game. Feel bad for him. I think this guy's an absolute stud, but man, it's just, he's like, he's basically playing with the AHL team out there. It's just rough.
Yeah. And of course, as we expected, basically the only bright spot, they made a few trades as well. They let go of Beauvillier and basically anyone that maybe could, you know, help him out a bit. Yeah. But I mean, as I still, for the most part, expected, he's, you know, killing it, I guess, the best that he could over there. He's had to deal with an injury or two throughout the season as well. So still, you know, very impressive with those injuries and the team he's on to be able to do that. And, you know, hopefully the Blackhawks can surround a bit more talent around him. And, you know, they can be a bit more fun to watch because Bedard, you know, I think has the potential to be one of the best players maybe of this generation if he has a team around him. But the Blackhawks are kind of another team that, like the Ducks and Sharks, that, you know, should probably figure it out soon. Of course, they had a lot of success about a decade ago, but so, you know, eventually they'll fall off. But you know, it's been a little while now since they've kind of competed.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's just been wasted away. I do think, you know, at potential wise, because this is the guy that was breaking McDavid's juniors records, which, you know, a lot of people thought might be untouchable. I think at his best, he's definitely a 40 to 50 goal, 100 plus point guy if he reaches his potential. Now, whether or not that happens, it's way too early to say. But I mean, minus 38. On the season for poor Connor Bedard. He's like Old Yeller out there wasting away pretty much on that team. The only major knock I would have of Connor Bedard right now, which, I mean, this could always change. He's still only a rookie. 39% on the dot is pretty concerning for a center. But other than that, good player, terrible team. They're going the Pens route, man. If they get three number one picks in a row, they might actually be able to do something again. But Atlantic Division, so we're going to switch to the East here. For a little bit, we're going to start once again, obviously, at the top of the division. This division is just absolutely, all these divisions we've talked about are crazy, and the Metro isn't any more certain than these. So the Panthers, 3 points behind the Bruins with two games in hand. You know, two great teams, a team that, you know, broke so many records last season in the Bruins, but got upset by these very Panthers in the first round. The Panthers went all the way. This Stanley Cup final, unfortunately, they got boat raced by the Vegas Golden Knights, but they still made it there, and they still have the potential, I think, to do it again with some of the players they have on that team. So, Brady, where are you leading? Are you leading for the reigning division champs or the reigning conference champs to win the Atlantic this season?
I know I sound like a broken record, but this might almost be one of the toughest kind of decisions here, just because the Panthers have been incredible. And we both thought they only got better at the deadline. And, you know, the Bruins, I mean, it's hard to repeat what they did in last year's regular season. But, you know, as expected, I mean, some people think, oh, you know, the Bruins might fall off this year. They have a lot of their best players are older. But once again, they don't. And they're right back in that top spot. I don't know. I guess I'll stick with the Bruins. I mean, I just think, you know, the experience is maybe a little bit more, of course, in the Bruins direction there, although the Panthers have been pretty good now for the last decade, and especially the last few seasons have been, you know, near the top of the Atlantic and all that. But I mean, those two games in hand, of course, are big for Florida. I'm almost at like a loss for words. I'm just going to go with the Bruins. They're also leading the Rangers 1-0 right now. Jake DeBrusk has that goal. Panthers scoreless with Nashville. But I almost don't even really know what to say for like my reasoning, other than, you know, I can maybe pull up their schedules really quick, see if that matters at all. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, of course, if the Panthers, because they're known to have some winning streaks and be a bit streaky at times. So it really would not surprise me if of course they just went on an absolute run and took the division. Not that they have to go on a crazy run to do that, but I think tonight could honestly be huge in deciding that, because the Bruins are going up against the Rangers, who they're also in competition with for the President's Trophy and kind of that one seed. The Rangers are tied in points with Florida, and Florida doesn't have an easy game against Nashville, of course, as we mentioned. So I'm going to lean Bruins. I think, you know, as we've seen throughout their careers, when things are tight, you know, Marchand, Pasternak, Bergeron, those guys get it done. We talked about Swayman this season. Olmark, they're having another, you know, good season in net. But I mean, I can't say for sure. And, you know, Florida, after getting, you know, Tarasenko and Oposo to kind of shore up their roster, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, of course, if, say, the Bruins won the division, but, you know, Florida went, you know, absolutely deeper in the playoffs. I think these teams are really neck and neck with each other. So, yeah, it was really tough decision, though.
It is a really tough decision. But lucky, it looks like we're not going to agree on every single one, because I am going to go with the Panthers on this. I mean, I picked the Panthers in preseason. I wouldn't say like out of left field or something like that, but it definitely, I don't think, was a team that was picked as much as a team like the Bruins. Like you said, I think they made a lot of really good moves at deadline. I think getting Tarasenko in there is an excellent trade for him. Reinhardt's a beast. I mean, this guy's about to hit 50 goals. He's always been a really solid player. The past 3 years, Brady, he's been over point per game. He went from a pretty solid player to, I don't know if I'd say elite. I want to see him do it a little bit longer before I say he's elite, one of the best. But he's, like, very, very good. He's right at the cusp if he isn't there yet.
I've had him in fantasy. He's been outstanding this season.
I almost said Brady Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk as well is a great player. And they got Verhaeghe and Barkov coming in. And Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky has been really good this season. He was good last postseason. Well, I know he usually struggles in postseason, but he did really well until the Stanley Cup Finals, where unfortunately I think it fell apart a bit for him. On their side for the Bruins, like you said, that goaltending duo has been really good this season once again. And they got Pasternak, who's a beast. I mean, 44 goals, 99 points. Still got Marchand. But I do think the Panthers did a bit more to add at the deadline. I mean, Pat Maroon was the Bruins' trade acquisition, the main one that I remember at least, which, don't get me wrong, Pat Maroon, really big part of a couple teams that won the Stanley Cup 3 years in a row. But, you know, my buddy Garth, who used to host a show with me, he's a Lightning fan, and he said, you know, the past year and a half, he's basically been like a sloth out there on the ice, just kind of trying his best to keep up with everybody, and it isn't really working out. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bruins won the division, obviously, like you said, with the Panthers, because I don't really think either of these teams have weaknesses. They're both incredible on the special teams. Florida is better defensively this season. They're second in goals against, whereas the Bruins are better offensively, and they're probably better overall. But I'm going to stick with my preseason gut feeling and pick the Panthers on this one. But, man, like you said, these last three divisions, man, the only one that has, like, some clarity for the division winner at this point is the Pacific with Vancouver. The other three are just, you know, coin flips pretty much, or in the case of the Central, spin a wheel between three teams and see where it lands on. Now, these two teams, the Lightning have been on a great run lately. I mean, Kucherov has just continued to kill it. Vasilevskiy, I think, is kind of starting to get some form going. He's been really not at the races most of the season, but I think he's been pretty good recently. So they're solidifying their spot in the wild card, 80 points for them, 5 points ahead of the Capitals in the second wild card spot. But they're still 7 points behind the Maple Leafs. They have just been really good lately, Brady. And Austin Matthews, after a 5-point night last night, is up to 57 goals. It's only a matter of time, it looks like, before he gets that second 60-goal season. So, you know, Brittany, what are your thoughts on these two teams? I don't think the Lightning will catch the Maple Leafs personally. I think they're too far behind, and the Leafs have still been playing really good hockey. But, you know, what are your thoughts on what they've been doing lately, and which team you have more faith in when it comes to a playoff run?
Well, I absolutely know which team I have more faith in when it comes to a playoff run. You know, of course, that could change this season. The Lightning have had a little bit more of a down year, and the Leafs right now are kind of surging a little bit. But, I mean, the Lightning still have incredible playoff experience as well. And, you know, they still had guys like Kucherov, who's having, you know, maybe a hard season. Stamkos is having a great year. Vasilevsky has done enough, I guess, in that. You know, they still got Hedman on the back end and all that as well. Toronto, of course, they have a great team. They just never get it done when it matters. Of course, they did finally win that series against Tampa last year, but you know, did almost next to nothing against Florida afterwards. So, I mean, from what I've seen, I still got to, you know, lean Lightning as far as playoff runs. I agree with you, though, that I think the Leafs kind of have that spot locked up. I don't think the Lightning will catch them. And Austin Matthews has been, as you mentioned, incredible. Had another good game the other night. Might have been last night against Washington. But he's been great. William Nylander, of course, having a career season as well. And, I mean, they got Mitch Marner, who was hurt. I'm not sure if he came back just yet. I had him in fantasy, and I had to put him in IR. I forget. But, and, you know, John Tavares as well has had a pretty good season again. Morgan Riley was injured for some time, but he's back. And Timothy Liljegren has been great for them as well. So, you know, the Leafs are once again built as a team that, you know, should, you know, have a great regular season as they had, and then build off that in the playoffs. Until I really see it and they at least compete in the second round and maybe even win it and get to a conference final, I really don't have much faith in them to do it. So this season, though, Nylander, 38 goals, 53 assists. He's at 91 points, too. So he's kind of been – he's always been good, but he's been really a breakout player for them. But this year could be different with Nylander having the season he's having. Matthews, of course, still incredible offensively. This could be the year where they at least give Toronto, you know, some hope in the playoffs. But like I said, for me, I feel like, you know, over the last two decades or so, until I really see that, I just can't believe it all too much, especially when, you know, as good as this core is, they've been a part of a lot of those kind of playoff collapses.
Yeah, I'm probably with you on having more faith with the Lightning. Don't get me wrong, like you said, they did get over that first run hump last season. Funny enough, beating those Lightning in six games, game winner by, I think it was Tavares in overtime. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the Lightning had that pedigree. I mean, they won the two cups. They made three straight finals. And I think they just kind of ran out of gas last season. And Toronto was finally due for a playoff series. But, you know, it's like Tom says, will Toronto beat Toronto in the playoffs? You never know, man. You never know when that defense and goaltending is just going to absolutely collapse. And they're just going to get lit up like a Christmas tree on the back end. I mean, you mentioned all the offensive talent needs no explanation. But Tampa Bay has that too. I mean, Kucherov, Point. I know Stamkos hasn't been quite up there this season. They got guys that can, you know, put some points on the board. It's just a matter of what Vasilevsky are you going to get? Are you going to get Vasilevsky like he's been most of this season? Or are you going to get Vasilevsky from when they made those deep playoff runs to where once it gets to an elimination game, he's literally unbeatable. Like, he's like God in game sevens, yeah, or something. Like, there's no other. Yeah, you do. 1-0. 1-0 is all it took, man. But if they had that Vassy, they could go as far as they want, pretty much. And this is probably one of their last chances with this core, because Stamkos and Hedman, they're no spring chickens. They got a couple other guys, you know, depth pieces. They're getting up there in age as well. This is probably one of their last chances to make another run. Now they will have at this point tough first round matchup in the Bruins is, or no, the Rangers would be who they play right now if the season ended today, which would be pretty tough. So they would like to get that divisional spot, like you said. I think they're just too far back. Currently, Toronto has not had like a major skid or anything this season. They've been overall pretty consistent. So I think Toronto, I think I actually said this last season, making predictions, Toronto is probably a better team in the regular season than the Lightning just because of how much offensive firepower they have up top. But when it comes to playoffs, and I know it's funny to say that considering they lost him last season, I do have way more faith in the Lightning just because I've seen them get it done. Whereas with these poor Maple Leafs, man, it's just been disaster after disaster. And speaking of disaster, you want to talk about a terrible stretch, man. These poor Detroit Red Wings, they were pretty comfortably in wild card position for, you know, 80% of the season, Brady. But 2-8-0 in their last 10, I mean, it feels like, I mean, they lost 6-3 to the Pens. Like, that's just embarrassing. That tells you how much they've been struggling lately. They're clinging on still to that second wild card spot. They're 1 point ahead of the Capitals from being out of the playoffs. And they are still playing those Islanders. It's scoreless still at the intermission, it looks like. But, man, what a terrible stretch for these guys. I think Larkin also got injured recently as well.
He's back tonight, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. That's how it goes for the Isles. But, you know, losing a player like that for a stretch doesn't help as well. So what are your thoughts on the Red Wings? Do you think they can make the playoffs? Or do you think a team like the Capitals or maybe even your Islanders can sneak in and usurp them for that final spot?
Well, I think the Red Wings, they're kind of a weird team. I feel like, you know, they're overachieving to some extent just because we've seen the pieces, we've seen them building. But, you know, some people weren't sure if they get here just yet. But, I mean, they've had a great season. Patrick Kane, of course, you know, even though he's a bit older now, he hasn't really lost a step. He's been great for them. Larkin's been hurt, but he's a great player, brings a lot of speed to the table for them. Raymond's had a good season, and Seider is one of the better young defensemen in the NHL as well for them. And they have a lot of pieces elsewhere as well. And in goal, they've gotten some solid goaltending. Alex Lyon has I think, kind of had an underrated season overall for them as well. Now, as you said, they were pretty comfortable and they went on this skid. I didn't think it would be this bad for them, but here we are. They've opened the door to my team, the Caps, at least for a little stretch there, the Penguins and Devils as well. But yeah, it's tough. The Capitals have looked pretty good as of late, which in my opinion is a little surprising. But Ovechkin's kind of finally gotten going. He's now 50 goals behind Gretzky. And another team that I forgot about, the Buffalo Sabres, I feel like almost came out of nowhere. I remember we were like playing them last week and I checked the stands and they're like right on their heels, of course. So they're dealing with a lot. They still have a chance to get into that first wild card spot. They're only 4 points behind Tampa. Tampa does have a game in hand on them, but so there's a lot of directions they can kind of end their season. And tonight, of course, is a big game against the Islanders. If the Islanders were to beat them in regulation, they would tie the Caps in points and also be 1 point back. So they really, as bad as they've been, of course, because of that, basically, they really have no room for error. They got some help from Toronto last night against the Caps. But, yeah, they got to figure it out quickly. Hopefully that does not start tonight. But, yeah, they've been a team that, you know, in a way it's not surprising. I mean, maybe the extent to which they've been losing, of course, has been. But they're still a pretty young team overall. And a lot of these guys don't have the playoff experience. They haven't been there now for a little while. I think they might even have – like the second they had like one of the longest playoff streaks in the NHL, I think, with the Penguins a few years ago. And now I think they have one of the longer droughts, if I'm not mistaken, or they're at least getting up there. Of course, Buffalo still has the longest. That could end though this season. But yeah, for Detroit, you know, it just goes back to really no room for error. They got to figure it out really quickly, because if they continue this skid, and of course, you know, lose, if they were to lose to the Islanders tonight, the Caps are playing good hockey. You know, they, and not only that, they'll also, of course, lose ground on the Lightning for that last spot and allow these other teams to maybe even, you know, catch up to them and have a shot and then really kind of bury them in the standings. So they got to figure it out. I think they have, you know, plenty of good talent. I think, you know, that lack of experience could hurt them overall. And of course, teams like the Caps, though their roster has changed a little bit, they still have a lot of, you know, good veterans, and the Islanders, a lot of their core from some of their playoff runs are intact. So I think, you know, Detroit lacks in a lot of areas, but I think their talent, we'll see if they get enough of it to propel them over the top, but it's not looking great right now for them.
Andrew Hall says, you guys just talking shop or watching a game. We're keeping up with the scores, but unfortunately, four of the six games right now are still friggin' scoreless, which is pretty crazy. Blues are up 2-0 over the Senators with goals from Brandon Saad and Colton Parayko. And the Bruins still up 1-0 with that DeBrusk goal. Looks like the second period is about to drop there. But, yeah,
I did get a notification, I think, earlier that Tippett scored, but I don't know if it got called back or they just, you know, maybe made a mistake with that. So he's had a great season for Philly. I thought he scored again, but, you know, this still says first intermission 0-0. So something must have happened there.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I guess it got waved off or something. But, yeah, as for the Wings, it's really tough, man. I'm actually glad you brought up Buffalo because I forgot to mention them. They've been really hot lately, and UPL Annette has been a stud, man. He's been really good. I kind of thought Devon Levy might actually be their future guy because it looked like UPL was kind of getting sidelined for him at the end of last season. But he's been really good this season. Dolly's an animal. I just think they've been playing well late. I just think it's too late. Like, they're 33-32-5. I think it's a lot to make up. It's not impossible by any means, but I think they're still a little bit too far back. So then I think it's between those three teams again, which the Wings and Isles have just been crumbling lately. Now, if it's just for who's in net, I think Sorokin, like he kind of did last season, can will the Isles into the playoffs and actually, you know, be pretty competitive in the first round, even if they don't win. But if I had to pick one, I'm honestly kind of leaning for the Capitals, because while the other two have been up and down for a lot of the season, I think the Capitals have overall been pretty consistent, kind of consistently, I don't know if mediocre is the right word, but definitely like as slightly above average as you can possibly be. I think that's what Washington has been this season. But I think something that could actually spur them on to make the playoffs, and you mentioned them, is the fact that Alex Ovechkin just flipped a switch after the All-Star game and went from struggling to where people were saying, oh my God, is this guy washed up? Is he done? To where he's goal per game pretty much. Since the All-Star break, he has 5 goals in the last 3 games. And I know we mentioned him a few weeks ago, where he had a stretch where he had 5 goals in 5 games as well. He's just been killing it, man. And Charlie Lindgren and Ned as well, I think, has also been solid. Definitely been a bit of a surprising goalie this season for me, in my opinion. So it's tough. You know, I'm not really sold on any of these teams, obviously, but I guess, you know, gun to my head, I'd probably pick Capitals. I think the Wings had a really good shot, but to go on a streak like this is just, it's just brutal, man. And like you said earlier, I think this Wings Isles game right now is, it's a must win pretty much. I think whichever team loses that one is going to be up the creek without a paddle, if you know what I'm saying. The Wings are going to win it all. Oh, go ahead,
Brady. I think too, it's almost a must-win in regulation, maybe more so for the Islanders because they're the team trailing. But, you know, also, you know, if the Wings win in, say, overtime or a shootout, that's obviously huge. But, you know, that does still, to some extent, keep the Islanders hanging around too. So entering the second, still 0-0, going to be a big final 40 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. So finally, we got the Metro Division. So we'll just kind of go ahead and do this and wrap up. So don't think I need to do this one because we kind of already mentioned the wild card a little bit. So we'll just talk about the upper part of the division, which is between the Hurricanes and the Rangers. So Hurricanes only 2 points behind the Rangers for divisional lead, which is pretty nuts considering the Rangers, it looked like, have been comfortably in that division for the entire season pretty much. But they've been killing it lately. The Rangers, I wouldn't say have been skidding, but they haven't been as hot as they've been for most of the season. And Jake Gensel, man, 8 points in five games and a +7 for the Hurricanes already. Like we said on that trade deadline show, just slotting in like it's nothing. And that offense is ridiculously scary now, and their defense is excellent at limiting shots. So once again, Brady, gonna have to, you know, put you on the hot seat here. Which of these teams do you think wins this division?
Well, of course, my bias will say the Hurricanes. But the Hurricanes, of course, we talked about one of their, you know, they were probably one of the biggest winners of the deadline, acquiring Gensel and Kuznetsov, who are both fitting great for them. The Rangers, you know, they had another pretty good week. Helps when you play us, especially the way we've been playing. Same with Carolina the other night. But it's really tough again. This is kind of like Boston and Florida. I might go with the Hurricanes just because I feel like with those trades, I maybe want to say they're slightly more, I hate to say complete team, but maybe just because I just feel like they've always been a pretty consistently good team, kind of one of those top three teams in the Metro now for a while. And they've never been able to get done in the playoffs, of course, but I feel like they've always been a great regular season team. The Rangers the last few years have been good. I feel like, you know, the way Gensel's been playing and Kuznetsov has had a decent start with them as well. And I believe they got Freddie Anderson back recently, but Pyotr Kochetkov has played great for them as well. Their goaltending has always been somewhat of a question, whereas the Rangers goaltending might be the least of their questions. But it's really kind of another coin flip. I might lean towards the Hurricanes at this point. They both have the same amount of games played. They're both playing right now. Rangers are, of course, trailing for the time being. Hurricanes still tied with the Flyers. They actually have a power play right now. I just feel like the Hurricanes maybe are also, you know, I feel like right now, too, they're on a four-game win streak. Rangers on a one-game losing. It's really not a streak, but I just feel like the Canes have been playing overall a little bit better, too, as of late. Now, that could change in the next 3 weeks. So, once again, this is kind of a toss-up for me, but I just think the Hurricanes all around are a very well-constructed team. They got Slavin and Pesci, and Shea has had a great year on the back end. Orlov has been pretty good for them. And, I mean, the Rangers have pretty good defense as well. I know Lindgren had a pretty bad-looking injury against us. I didn't see exactly what the update was on him, but that could be a big loss for them. And I think both teams are relatively even offensively with the talent there, especially with the Hurricanes trades. So I'll probably give the edge to Carolina, but once again, I think this could come down to really the last few games.
Jacob Warner says the Devils just need to call it for Jack Hughes and let him get that shoulder surgery. Now they've been freaking skidding, man. I mean, just barely above the pins in the division. That's definitely not a good place to be, but I think I agree with you as well. I'm probably going to slightly go with the Hurricanes. They have been on a great streak lately. They did get Frederick Anderson back, who he's only played 10 games this season, but when he has, 917 save percentage, 2.17 goals against average. I do like Kochetkov as well, as you said, kind of as their future goaltender. Gensel has slotted in perfectly. That top six just looks phenomenal right now. And for the Rangers, you know, I mean, I don't really want to repeat myself too much because we basically said all this on the trade deadline show. I think the major Rangers got a couple solid guys in, but I don't think they got that high profile move. I mean, I know a lot of Rangers fans are upset that they didn't get Gensel and the fact that he went to the Hurricanes as well. I think that could play a big factor. I do like Roslovich. I think that was a good move for him. The other ones, I don't know. I mean, you'll kind of see, I guess. Like, I think, what's his face? I'm blanking on his name. The guy from the
Winberg.
Yeah, Winberg. I think that's a, you know, a decent move for their bottom six, but I don't know if it's enough, man. And, you know, I do think it's important to win that division because I would much rather play a wild card team than, well, I mean, the Flyers, I don't know. It's tough to say. Like, I still don't know what the Flyers, like, I keep expecting them to fall off, and yet they're just still there in the third spot literally the whole year.
Barely, but they just had enough. By the way, Nashville just scored. It looks like Nyquist against Florida.
Well, there you go. Good old Nashville just keeps it rolling. But, I mean, I guess I would rather not play the Flyers over one of the, like, the second wildcard team. I don't know. But, I mean, who knows. But I'll probably go with the Hurricanes as well. We kind of already talked about this one, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on this one. We kind of already talked about the wild card, but the 5 points between the Flyers, Capitals, and Islanders for the final divisional spot. And because the Atlantic is really competitive, getting that divisional spot could be most important. So, in my opinion, I think the Flyers, I want to say they'll fall off, man. But to be honest, the Islanders have gone off a cliff recently in the past couple of weeks. And the Caps, like I said, I think they've done enough to stay consistently in a wild card race. But they never show me enough to where I think they can actually catch the Flyers. The Flyers have been consistent most of the season. I really want them to fall off. But, I mean, we've been waiting, and it's still late March. It could still happen. They could go on a five-game losing streak. I'd change everything. But between these three, I'd probably pick the Flyers, unfortunately, to keep that third spot. What about you, Brady?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, we've been talking about every show. I feel like at this point it's kind of just – like destiny at this point for them to finish in that spot. But it's still pretty close between these three teams. I feel like the Flyers and Capitals, I thought the Caps would take a step back, and they have, I guess, but I don't know. Early on in the season, it didn't really seem like they have too much of a shot at it, and here they are now ahead of us. For the Islanders, of course, they got to figure it out fast. I'm seeing on my phone that they're playing well, and they're still tied at zero. So it'd be nice if this team could have any finish when they're maybe out playing a team. I saw the Hurricanes just scored, but it looks like the Flyers just tied it. So there you go. That game is now 1-1. Martinook and Lawton, the goal scorers. But yeah, It could change. I think the Flyers, you know, maintain that spot. Probably will still be relatively close throughout. And, you know, the other two teams, I'd say, though, at this point are likely, you know, competing for that wild card spot. I think only one of them gets in. The Capitals have been relatively consistent as of late, even maybe playing a little bit better. The Islanders, of course, have not, but they've, I guess they've gotten help, and they've, you know, done enough on that last win streak and before that to still be right there. So I feel like there's, you know, only 3 weeks left or so, but a lot can still change for all three of these teams. And next show, in kind of that final stretch, final two-ish weeks or whatever, it could be completely different.
Is there any relation here, Brady?
Yes, that's my mom.
Oh, hey, there you go. Awesome. Nice job, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Campbell. Next week, I'd like to hear you guys talk about potential top-rated prospect Higgins. We're going to talk about prospects more as we get close to the offseason, definitely. Right now, I don't know a lot about any of the prospects but besides Celebrini, just because he's the top guy. But definitely as it gets closer, we'll talk more about prospects.
Yeah.
Artemi Panarin has tied the game with the Rangers. And by the way, can I just say, it's so freaking weird seeing a bald Artemi Panarin. It just doesn't look right, man. Like, I'm so used to him having that flowing hair, and then now he's bald, and it's like, I don't know what to think of it. Senators have scored as well, so that game's now 2-1. Freaking Isles still scores, man. Still scores.
Oh, boy, they have a power play.
The Red Wings got a power play or the Isles?
Isles do. So that won't happen. But no, yeah. So Higgins, he's actually, I think he's projected to be the 2025 top pick, but he's from basically where I'm from, like the same town. And he was actually friends with my brother growing up. So that's why that's pretty cool.
I gotcha.
Yeah, but he's like one of the top prospects, I think, in like the U.S. hockey kind of association system thing like that. But I'm excited for that down the line, of course, but that's still a whole off season away too.
Final thing before we get to team of the week here. This is unfortunate to talk about, but you know, Brady, I'm looking on the bright side, right? We still got that from the Eric Carlson trade. We got that top 10 protected pick, man. If we just keep losing games over and over, maybe get like a 2% shot at the number one pick. I mean, you never know, man. These poor Devils as well. They've just – I thought they – because the Flyers obviously aren't exactly an uncatchable team. If one of these teams just went on a run but no one wants to, I thought the Devils would kind of be that team to get back up in that third spot. But, man, they're friggin' 33-32-4. They're still scoreless with the Jets right now. I think they're done. I think they're pretty much cooked. And the Pens, I gave up on the Pens 18 months ago, so we're not even going to talk much about them. But, unfortunate for those two teams, but looks like they're pretty much finished at this point. Let's go ahead and get to our final segment. Good old team of the week on this one. I'll go ahead and, as always, I'll put your – actually, no. I'm not going to have you go first every time. I'll go first this time. I'll put mine up real quick and explain these. Of course, because I'm completely unprepared, I don't have my document up to talk about the stats. Lovely. So I'll go ahead and get that up real quick. But first off is Nikita Kucherov, who, in my opinion, unless something radically changes and McKinnon goes on a tear, I think he's done enough to slightly edge away and win the to be in contention as the favorite for the Hart Trophy. But this week, Brady, 3 goals and 8 assists for 11 points, which obviously led the week for all forwards. He was a +3. He had 2 game-winning assists, which is lovely to see. And he only took 4 shots. So 3 of his 4 shots he scored, which is pretty incredible. And, you know, just a little bit else, he also had a hit, and he also added a block shot. And Austin Matthews, now this guy is absolutely crazy, man. So he had 5 points last night against those poor Capitals, two goals and 3 assists. And over the past week, he has had 3 goals and 6 assists for 9 points, which is 2nd in the league, only behind Mr. Kucherov. He is also 3 goals away from his 2nd 60-goal season, +5 over the past week, 1 game-winning assist. And, you know, for a guy that you might not associate with defense, Brady, 4 hits, 2 block shots, and won almost 61% of his faceoffs. And fun fact for you, Brady, in their first 548 career games, Austin Matthews has scored 356 goals. Alex Ovechkin, in his first 548 career games, 337. So, I mean, you know, a guy that, like you mentioned earlier, is quickly chasing down Gretzky, is probably going to break the record unless he has some terrible injury. He's currently outpacing him through the same point in his career. It's just, can he keep up that longevity and keep it up, you know, for 15, 18 years? That remains to be seen, but so far, he's been absolutely ridiculous. I mean, 260-goal seasons, and he's only 26 years old. It's just absolutely nuts. Anze, now, this third forward spot was really tough. There are a lot of guys you could have given this to. I think the other two were much easier. But I ended up going with Anze Kopitar. I think he kind of had a kind of an underrated week for this Kings team. You know, he's 36 years old, I think, at this point, and he's still getting it done, man. 5 goals over the past week, which was tied for 2nd for forwards, and 2 assists for a total of 7 points. He was a +4. He also had 12 penalty minutes. I don't know if he fought somebody or what, but clearly he's been getting a bit fired up out there as well. Added a game-winning goal, and he only took 7 shots, so a 71.4% shooting percentage. That'll get it done any day of the week. And as always, this guy's a monster on the dot. 55.4% face-off win percentage over the past week. Just doing a little bit of everything for that solid Kings team. And then defensively, now I don't think this has ever happened for my team of the weeks, but I got 2 defensemen from the same team, the top 2 defensemen of the Nashville Predators. If I was smarter, I would have actually put them in reverse because I think Yossi plays left defense and McDonough plays right defense. But Ryan McDonough and Roman Yossi. So start with McDonough. He was the first guy on my sheet pretty much for defense. 6 points over the past week, all of them assist. Tied for 2nd in points, and he was 1st in assists for D-men over that stretch. You know, not a guy you typically associate with offense, more of a defensive guy, but he was just absolutely killing it the past week. Plus 11 in, I think it was four games played or something like that, plus 11, which obviously it led all defensemen, and it wasn't even close, Brady. The next closest guys were plus 7, one of which was Roman Josi, funnily enough. He also had a game-winning assist. He had one hit, and as Ryan McDonough always likes to do, laying the body on the line for the team. Five block shots, which was one of the highest marks for the entire week. And Roman Josi, 3 goals and 4 assists for 7 total points. He led all defensemen over the past week in both goals and points, plus 7, which, like I said, was tied for second for defensemen over that stretch. And then he also added 2 game-winning points, 1 goal and 1 assist, and 5 block shots. Both of these guys just absolutely killing it for the Predators. Big part of the reason they have gone on that great winning streak lately. And in net, I'm going to be honest, Brady, this isn't a guy I've thought about in like 5 years when he was back with the St. Louis Blues. But Jake Allen, for those poor New Jersey Devils, he's doing all he can, man, for that sinking ship. But 3 games played over the past week. He had a 2-1 record because they only scored 1 goal against the Vegas Golden Knights. 2.01 goals against average, 946 save percentage. And here's some fun stats for you. 105 saves on 111 shots, both of which led for goalies over the past week. In fact, the Devils' defense, Brady, has been so bad that Jake Allen had the same amount of shots faced as Charlie Lindgren, who played an additional game. So that is 37 shots against per game. Poor guy's just been struggling back there with his defense, leaving him out to rot, but he's been doing good. And honorable mentions, Braden Point had a really good week. So did Dmitry Orlov. And Connor Hellebuyck, who, as I said earlier, is probably going to win the Vezina this season, but I just barely gave it to Allen this week because this dude absolutely stood it on his head. Now, as for yours, as always, there's some similarity and some differences. So you got Kucherov and Point as your two first forwards. Then you got Jake Guentzel coming in, Ryan McDonough, Dmitry Orlov, and Jake Allen in net as well. So go ahead and take us through your team of the week.
Yeah, so we'll start with Kucherov. Of course, you mentioned him already, but yeah, he's still killing it with the Lightning. Of course, in what could be considered, I suppose, a down year for Tampa, has been quite the opposite for Nikita Kucherov. As you mentioned, 3 goals, 8 assists, total of 11 points, a plus 3. He threw his body around a little bit too, getting that one hit as well. But a huge part of the Lightning and their success, even though it might actually, or it is less than in years past. And I guess still kind of keeping them afloat too, as they're still, you know, not too far out of that second wildcard spot as well. Doesn't look like they'll catch Toronto, but he's been phenomenal for them. And of course, the possible heart winner, definitely, of course, one of the candidates. And his teammate Braden Point has been outstanding, especially in the last few weeks. 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points as well, plus 4. He had a hat trick against the Rangers. That might have been the previous week, but like I said, the last few weeks he's been outstanding overall. One of those goals did come on the power play as well. One of them was a game winner too, and he only took 8 shots as well, so he scored on 5 of them, which is very impressive too, looking a lot like his teammate Nikita Kucherov there. And 1 hit, 2 block shots. So doing it a little bit as well on the defensive end as well. But I feel like Braden Point has always been, you know, a pretty underrated part of the Lightning team, because I feel like Kucherov and Stamkos and Hedman and Vasilevskiy get, you know, most of the talking. Point, of course, you know, in some of their playoff runs has been, you know, talked about a lot, but I feel like, you know, overall he maybe hasn't gotten as much credit as the other guys when he's been outstanding for them. Jake Guentzel, as we mentioned, has fit in perfectly for the Hurricanes. 2 goals, 6 assists, 8 points, plus 7 as well. So he's fit in nicely, perfectly really for that Hurricanes team, who was already looking pretty good, but they added him and Kuznetsov. They fit in nicely, and now they're possibly going to win the division. They're right there with the Rangers, of course, as well. Both those goals were even strength goals too. And he did have 5 hits, so he throws the body around a little bit, 2 block shots as well, doing it in the defensive end, took 14 shots. And then, excuse me, I'm looking at the wrong player. Didn't take any faceoffs, of course, as well. Just a strong week here. Strong start in Carolina for Jake Guentzel. And picking up right where he left off with the Penguins, really, when he left, of course, and now is surrounded by, no offense, Noah, a playoff team that is very scary, though, this season. And, yeah, just like what you had, Ryan McDonagh, what a season he had for the what a week. I mean, he's had a great season as well for the Predators, a great last few weeks, of course, as the whole team has had. No goals, but he is a defenseman. He had 5 assists +9. We talked about his insane career plus minus, and that has not changed at all this season as well, doing it the full 200 feet for the Predators this season. Only took one shot. Of course, he didn't score on it. One hit and those 3 block shots as well. And then I went with Dmitry Orlov here, another Hurricane, of course. He had 11 hits, 2 block shots. So he was very much involved on the ice throughout the last week. And he had 2 goals and 4 assists for 6 points. So he's been a guy that, you know, isn't talked about as much. Of course, he came from the Capitals. He was pretty good with them. And, you know, he almost to some extent, I guess, buried in that defensive core with Slavin and Pesci, and Chase had a great year for Carolina. But Orlov has had a solid season as well, and he stepped up this week for sure, +5 too. And the Hurricanes finding their game big time now, getting on a little bit of a roll here, and now might find themselves pretty soon in the top spot of the division. And goalies, I also went with Jake Allen, you know, for a team like the Devils, who has just not been great, although I think I saw they're actually now winning, as is Detroit, of course. But yeah, Jack Hughes scored for them. But Jake Allen has been phenomenal this last week as well. He robbed Sidney Crosby as well, but a .946 save percentage, .201 goals against, 2-1 record. So he's been good enough keeping the Devils, I guess, still in it as much as he can, as much as they really can be, although it's not looking good at all for them really here in the last few weeks. But he was phenomenal for them this week. And then my honorable mentions, as I mentioned before, William Nylander, what a season he's had. 38 goals now, 4 of those came this past week, adding on 3 assists, 7 points. He was a +5. He's had a great season and just another phenomenal week when the Leafs here now pulled ahead a little bit on the Lightning as well. 2 block shots. He took 14 shots too, so scored on several of them as well, with those 4 goals. And at the faceoff dot, 5 wins, 5 losses. So obviously 50% faceoff. So he did his job overall there as well. And just another great week for William Nylander in a career season. Defensively, I went with Mario Ferraro. So he's one of the guys, I feel like at this point, he's kind of just underrated because he's stuck on San Jose of all teams. But 1 goal, 3 assists for the 4 points, and +2 on the San Jose Sharks. So there you go. That's always a positive. And he did it on the back end as well. 6 hits, 6 block shots. I'm sure when you play for the Sharks, you have to block a lot of shots, and took 10 shots himself offensively. So definitely want to give him a shout out as well. There's a lot of defensemen I could have went with, but, you know, I'm taking into consideration the team he plays for. And he had a great week. And then, as we mentioned, UPL, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and the Sabres, you know, we thought Devon Levi could be that guy for them. But this season, or at least this last stretch, it's been UPL, .938 save percentage, 169 goals against this season. Beat the Islanders, of course. But yeah, he's been really solid for them as well. Did have a shutout too. I'm trying to think if that was the Islander game. It probably was. I do remember they did shut us out now. but faced 80 shots on goal and stopped 75 of them. Only 5 goals allowed there too, and has been really a critical part, has played a key role in this surging Sabres team that now has a chance at the playoffs.
Yeah, good list as always, man. Definitely, it was tough this week. There were a lot of players that were deserving, but you know, we had some similarities, some differences as always. But yeah, Kucherov, I definitely think was an obvious one. I think McDonough was pretty obvious too, and Allen. But other than that, I mean, once again, like, this is always tough to do, to pick just 6 guys out of all the incredible players in the league. No Connor McDavid as well, which, if I swear, Brady, if we had done like show, like team of the week any of the past 5 weeks, that dude would have been the first name on the list pretty much every time. But he's not this week. He had an off week, I guess, for his standards, which means he didn't have 10 points in 3 games. But yeah, that's going to do it for the show tonight. Good to kind of recap all the divisions pretty much. Don't have to worry about talking about trades anymore, at least. So that's good to do. So, do you have anything you kind of want to say here, Brady, before we get off for tonight?
I guess what I usually say, I mean, now we're really in it. The trade deadline has come and gone now for, you know, the last few weeks, and it's go time, and there's still so much to solve. The Islanders tied the game. Mike Riley, there we go. So, you know, for a team like them too, a lot of struggling teams, Detroit in the East, that wild card's going to be crazy. And the same thing in the West with the wild card, still a few teams in it there. You know, Vegas, I guess, somewhat surprisingly has fallen, and still a lot to be determined in the top 3. I mean, you know, sometimes the top seed might not be determined. You might have 1 or 2 teams battling for it, but there's somewhere kind of all teams are involved, at least to some extent, or, you know, some, you know, teams in that third spot are still battling for that top wild card. You know, they might drop into that, like the Flyers and the Lightning are have in danger of dropping a wild card spot too. Just so much to go down. And I'm sure by our next show, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things that, you know, the standings might look very much different from how they are right now. And, you know, that's going to be a week or two left in the season.
Yep, lots still to be determined. Crazy divisional races, crazy wild card races, crazy races for seeding, crazy races for awards. I mean, just get in line. Craziness all around. The season has been absolutely insane. Maybe not so much personally as a fan of the Penguins, but as a fan overall, it has been enjoyable. So we'll keep keeping up with it in the next couple of weeks, and we're getting really close to the playoffs, to where we're going to start be doing our playoff predictions, which would be really fun to do. So that'd be great. But until then, from myself, Noah Dobber, and my co-host, Brady Campbell, it's been another episode of Puckin' Around here on the Ruby and Preview Sports Network. Until next time, enjoy your hockey, stay safe, and keep pucking around.